For listening tonight, I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at the ESPN Fresno studio on Palm Avenue across from Bullard High School. Tonight, we have the women's basketball team back on the show, minus some players because, believe it or not, they have something called finals for the next week or two. So a lot of the student athletes are studying or taking finals. However, we got Tim Beauregard here and also associate head coach Tino Reynolds. Excited to talk with these guys. Both fantastic guys. We've already had great conversations sitting in the studio right now, but can't wait to bring those guys on air and listen to their stories. Thoughts on maybe some Christmas subjects and, of course, lots and lots of basketball talk. It is a little strange not having players here, but we are really, really looking forward to this episode. The basketball team at Fresno Pacific University on the women's side is currently 5-4, 1-1 in PacWest play, coming off a huge 54-47 win over the Bible Institute of Los Angeles, otherwise known as Biola. Usually at this time, we have a Sunbirds recap. So here we go. Over the last week, the Sunbirds men's and women's basketball teams were in action, like I mentioned, as PacWest conference play tipped off for both teams. On Thursday night, the Sunbirds took on Westmont College at the Special Event Center. The women fell 56-40, with Central High's Jayla Green scoring 11 points and grabbing 7 rebounds. She's been a guest on the show, a fantastic player and personality as well. And Kerman High's Bree Hurt, she added 10 points and 5 rebounds. In the men's game, Westmont won 79-62 with Isaac Peralta and Seth Brown scoring 14 and 12 respectively. Then on Saturday, talking about that big win for the women's, Biola came to Fresno and they were victorious with that hard-fought performance, again winning 54-47. Bree Hurt, we're going to hear about her for the rest of the basketball season. She scored 17. Julie Ramirez added 11, and Memorial High's Angela Whitfield knocked down 10. The men, however, would fall 81-65 to Biola, with Brown's 15 and Peralta's 11 leading the way for the Sunbirds. All right, so normally we have Pablo and Enzo come on the show, and they give us what's coming up this week in Fresno Pacific University athletics. And also, they usually ask questions towards the end of the show, but again, they're taking finals, so they're not joining us today. That just means more time with the coaches. Again, we're really looking forward to their conversation and their insight to basketball. All right, we're going to take a break right now. When we return, we're going to hear from Coach Tim and Coach Tino from the women's basketball program. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
I am your host, Paul Metters, and we got Coach Tim and Coach Tino from the women's basketball team at FPU. First of all, guys, what a fun next, 45 minutes of content we have prepared for everybody out there. A little bit of basketball, a little bit of Christmas stuff, a little bit about maybe the NBA. I know you guys are interested in the NBA, but first of all, Warriors, they're not on yet, right?
Coming 7 up, o'clock? No, I will be watching that a little bit delayed, so everybody in my life knows don't text me
no spoiler alert.
I will be about 30 minutes behind live until halftime. And then me and my daughter will watch live the second half.
All right, there's an ESPN monitor right in front of me, and you're back to it. But it's the Atlanta and New York game, so who really cares about East Coast basketball?
Yeah, I'm okay on that one.
All right, well, thank you guys for joining me today. We're going to have a lot of fun. Appreciate both of you. All right, so let's talk a little NBA before we get into Fresno Pacific University women's basketball. So you are a Warriors fan.
Yeah.
When did you start your cheering for the guys? Like Run TMC days, obviously Draymond, Steph, Clay. I mean, good times with those guys. But
I like how we're starting it with a little NBA before we talk FPU hoops, because this is basically how we start every practice. I walk in, I've got a couple from the Bay Area, we talk our Warriors talk, and then we start practice. And so I was a Jordan fan growing up, right? So I'm a product of the kind of the 80s and watching. And I remember, you know, sitting crisscross applesauce in front of the TV for the flu game and different things. And so I was Bulls only, Jordan only, never claimed another team until Kerr got the job with the Warriors. Now, I say that because I'm not going to claim to have been a Warriors fan forever, although I rooted for them. After Jordan retired the second time, I rooted for lots of different players, but I didn't claim a team. I just kind of felt like my team fandom was going to leave when Jordan left the league. And then when Kerr got the job, I felt like there's a direct line. Kerr is my Bulls guy. He's my Jordan guy. I like his style of coaching. I was already a Steph fan, a Klay fan, and I mean, Draymond's number two on my
all-time. My
yeah. It's Jordan, it's Draymond, it's Steph. So it was a very easy transition for me to pick up my fandom a little bit when Kerr took the job. So it's been a fun couple of years.
You know, I mean, Kerr took the New York Knicks job, right? I mean, talk about a crazy turn of events,
right.
The sliding doors. And the rest is history.
He made a very good decision to go, you know what? Steph Curry's who I would like to link my coaching career with. Yeah.
Always go with the shooter, right?
That's right.
All right. So, Tino, I heard a little bit about your, what, fandom, right? With air quotes around
fanatic.
Fanatic.
He's fanatic. Not a fan. He is a fanatic.
Yeah. So, my whole journey started with Shaquille O'Neal. So when I first started watching basketball.
And LSU when he was at LSU?
No. So, more so Orlando Magic.
Okay.
And then he got, you know, goes to the Lakers. And that's when I kind of started watching, remembering the games, you know, the Derek Fisher point four, the, you know, Kobe, you know, alley-ooped against Portland to Shaq. Like, those were my days of, like, watching. But, yeah, I'm a major fanatic. I have 3 Shaq jerseys at home, a couple LeBron jerseys, Kobe
He wears
jersey.
Them for every game at home. Like, he has to get home and put
a
Shaq jersey on.
It's a little unhealthy, but, you know, there's been a lot of winning over the years, so it's been great. But, yeah, it all started with Shaq for me, and kind of modeled my game after him a little bit, and you know, that's how it all my fandom started.
Have you met any Lakers in person? And if you had, right, what would your reaction be?
Oh, if I met Shaq, I can't even explain. He's like my favorite person ever. If I could ever meet Shaq one day, I think that would be the best thing ever.
Yeah.
So you enjoy him on TNT. I mean, isn't that the greatest show inside the NBA on TNT?
Easily.
Yeah, just free flowing, you know, Ernie is unbelievable. Nice. It just stitching it together, and there's like respect and love and different things. And yeah, it's nice, you know, so many of those studio shows, it's like, how quickly can you get your point in? And it's nice, especially basketball and after games and the dynamics, to just have deeper conversations about it. So they do a great job.
Charles Barkley, right, is the most important sports media figure out there. I heard the
right.
former Fox executive talk about his value,
yeah.
right? And when, you know, all the talk about inside the NBA going to a different show
yeah.
or stopping, yep. right? Like, that would have, I think the NBA would have taken a huge
right.
hit
yep.
in popularity. They're struggling, actually, this year. But, I mean, Charles Barkley, he's amazing. You know, you talk about rooting for players like
yeah.
Jordan, right? That was kind of me too. Like,
yeah.
I love Barkley. I loved Olajuwon, right? I didn't yeah. necessarily root for the teams.
Right.
But I love watching those guys.
Yeah. And I think there's a level of, like, you know, authenticity with Barkley that's a lot of fun, right? He is who he is. And yeah, I think people like, you know, that authenticity of just be who you are, and he's done a great job.
Really quick before we get into that huge win against Biola. So the Century Golf Tournament, I don't think that's the official name, in Lake Tahoe. The Pro-Am. Mm-hmm. So we were usually around Tahoe around that time of the golf tournaments. And I'd take my nephews and my daughters, and they'd have their little you know, autograph signature program, and they, you know, chase around athletes and personalities. And my daughter, Ruthie, was, you know, she's not very tall. She's like 5'1", 5'2".
Yeah.
She was standing by herself. Charles Barkley was being hounded by a group, but Ruthie was standing by herself. Charles walked right by her, made a beeline to her, signed her thing, didn't say a word, and
oh my
kept
God.
On walking. How awesome
that's
was that,
great.
Right? Charles didn't want people screaming his
no.
name, right?
Yeah.
No.
He's picking the kid that's not saying anything and
screaming
his name. So
what a cool experience.
That was a great experience. All right. Huge win against Biola last Saturday. Just talk about how big of a win that was and who played good in that one, guys.
Yeah, every conference game from here on out, there you can't play bad and have a chance. You've got to play at least good, and there's going to be games where we're going to have to play great. That's just the nature of our conference. It has been bolstered even more with some incoming teams. Biola is always one of those teams that you can just expect to be at the top of our conference. And so, yeah, Westmont didn't go our way, didn't shoot the ball really well. And it was a real simple challenge. The next day we were able to get back and just build some confidence, just saying, hey, we just got to have a better performance at home. Watching our team take the court and kind of gut out a really good one against Biola was a ton of fun. And, you know, as it has been accustomed for us over the years, it's usually defense. We didn't shoot the ball real well against Biola either, but we guarded really, really well. And, you know, it's always fun, you know, these last couple of years in the fourth quarter of the Biola game, one of the timeouts, I just stopped, as I was saying, and stopped and just said, hey, isn't this what we do? We have a lead right now. We don't even need to score again. We just got to guard like we know we can guard. And so we've got some elite defensive minds on our team. And Tino and I, we always joke it in practices. We did it today, actually. We're always trying to figure out ways to challenge them defensively, because they're so good at conquering the easier stuff. And so we have to get really complex to try to get their brains moving to make quick decisions. And so, yeah, the Biola game was a ton of fun. Everybody came in, was additive. It was a great bounce back game. You don't want to start conference 0-2 and be fighting to get back in it. And so some really tough games coming our way, but it was a gritty win for us.
All right, so 5-4 on the season, like you mentioned, 1-1 in PacWest Conference. Just remind us again, so how many games are in conference, and, yeah, and who exactly are the teams? Because sometimes I even forget. I think, 14
yeah.
total teams?
Yeah, well, I was just on the phone with a recruit, and it's usually kind of the go-to, right? So we play 20 games in conference, and then, you know, we've been able to make the playoffs more often than not the last handful of years, so that guarantees us at least one more game after that. And then obviously all of our non-conference. We basically spend our time in three areas. We're in Southern California, so that's the Biola, Concordia, Azusa, now Vanguard, Costa Mesa, and then we head down to Point Loma, the San Diego game. And then we're in the Bay Area, Dominican Academy of the Art. We have Menlo, new to our league there, right by Stanford. And then William Jessup, who's Sacramento, has joined our conference as well. And then Westmont's kind of a little offshoot in Santa Barbara. And then we're in Hawaii, you know, 3 days or for three games for about 8 or 9 days every year. And then the Hawaii schools come to us. So we're kind of on our own here in this island. And then we kind of travel to those areas.
Okay. So again, 5-4 on the season. What do you think is the team strength? You mentioned the defense, right? So has the season, have you had to make some tiny adjustments assessing the year so far? You know what I mean? Like maybe you come into season, hey, you know, I got some spot up shooters, or we're going to have a really good inside game. But what are some maybe adjustments you've made through nine games, if any?
What do you think, Tino?
You know, me and Tim talked at the beginning of the year. You kind of have thoughts of, you know, hey, we have a couple of post players that we can throw the ball into, back to basket, score a little bit. But I think we talk about anybody any night. And just this last game, like Julie was really good early in the game, scoring the ball, putting rim pressure on. And then Bree was really great at the end of the game with a couple ISO touches for her. So, you know, I think in the beginning of the year, we were really talking about, hey, ball inside. And then we were like, hey, we create a lot of open threes and we rebound really well. Right. So it's like, and I don't know, we've kind of gone back and forth on that quite a bit.
It's been like fun conversations, because I think, you know, we've been together for, this is year five?
Year six.
This is year six, yeah. Having so much fun, I'm just losing track of time. This is the most like kind of in charge of how we want to play and how to structure practices. You know, the last couple of years we've found like a really good flow. So I think it's been really fun this year that we've got to tell our team after a couple of our losses where, you know, we had plenty of chances to win those games. They weren't bad losses. They're just early season. I think the style we play is always going to get better January, February, March, right? There's a lot of freedom for our players to make decisions on their own. We don't put them on tracks. We're not going to run, you know, 25 horn sets every game. We let them play free. So that comes with, you know, some learning early on in the year. But we kind of at every turn, even after losses, go, okay, there's no flinch. There's nothing that's rattled us. We're going to run practice the same tomorrow. Maybe it gives us, you know, hey, we haven't worked on, you know, we had two post-entry pass turnovers last game. I said, you know, it's kind of on us. We haven't worked on that in about a week and a half of practices. So last 2 days, we brought that back. And, hey, let's get a little bit better at our post-entry passes. And so I feel like we're in a really good flow of what we want to do offensively and defensively, which makes it fun every day to come in and just, you know, dive back in and trust the process.
Have there been any girls so far this season that surprised you with their play? You're like, hey, maybe we should give this girl a little more playing time, or showing some stuff in practice, maybe diving for a few loose balls, and you're like, all right, it's time to play this girl a little bit more.
Paul, it's, I mean, the women are incredible on our team, and we don't recruit anybody who can't play for us. So there's an understanding. There's a hierarchy a little bit. We have a lot of seniors, but everybody knows every day they can earn more playing time. We get about 11 in the first quarter. And then in the second half, like last two games, in the second half, there was stretches where I said, I can't sub this person out. They earned more time in the second half, but everybody gets a chance to come in and be additive.
Well, looking at the stats, looking at your records, I did one thing popped up. And first of all, I love college stats, right? Compared to high school stats,
right.
That what I'm used to, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in heaven. Look at all these college stats. Minutes played.
Yeah.
I'm seeing what? 22.5, 21.6, 20.4, right? 19, 17, right? I'm seeing lots of minutes spread out. Is that, obviously, you know, there's some rhyme and reason to that, but is that the way you guys like it? Is that the way you guys planned it?
Yeah, it's about giving everybody a chance to be additive. It really is. Can you come in and make a play? Tino does our guard subbing. I do our post subbing. Last year, he probably had the hardest job on game days. We had we had a lot of guards that deserve to get out there. It's actually been easier this year because we have the whole bench needs to get in. And so like everybody needs to get a chance. And so, we just try to give everybody that opportunity to go in, be additive, make a play. And the more you can do that, the more you can be beneficial in your time on the court, the more chance you're going to have to play in the second half. And so, a lot of seniors, and our seniors are going to play, and we know that. But everybody else, you know, we have some freshmen and some sophomores that are getting a little bit of burn and getting an opportunity every game, which I think is so much more enjoyable than, you know, maybe not this game, maybe this game. And there's some matchup things that some might play a little bit less. But the greatest thing about our team is they just root for each other. So there's not a player in our top 5, 6, 7 minutes per game right now that would give any sort of a negative attitude if somebody below them minutes wise had a great game for us on Friday. They would be on the bench rooting as loud as they possibly could. And I think that's, you know, a unique thing to our culture.
I want to explore that even further because everybody likes control, right? Especially head coaches. And for you to say, you know, Tino's in charge of subbing the guards and you're in charge of subbing the posts. How do you guys do that? Like walk me through that process, because I would just assume that the head coach, you know, pretty much makes every decision about who's getting playing time, who goes in. So Tino, you're associate head coach, that's your title, right? So you got, you know, a lot of say in what goes on in a basketball game.
Absolutely.
So just kind of walk us through that process. What are you thinking? And what are you talking to the girls about?
You know, I think what, 3 years ago now, maybe me and you really started to talk more about it. And, you know, I told him, I was like, I used to be a head coach high school. There's a lot of things you're juggling during a game, you know, and I think one of the most important things as the head coach is to kind of feel out what we need to do, whether it's offensively or defensively. And I think sometimes during that next chair, it's easier to see, hey, this person's really tired. Hey, we need to get this person out. They have one more burn in them. And then we got a sub. And so I took that over and, you know, it's been really good. And it's easy with our team because they really empty the gas tank. We have multiple players be like, coach, I need one. And they know they're going to go back in. So it's really not, I don't think it's as hard as it seems, but our team makes it a little easy. And then Tim just gave me reins with it. And it's been great for us last couple years.
Yeah. And we're constantly talking about it, right? Of like, hey, we've got to get a little bit more burn for this person in the first half to see what they give us. And so we kind of go into the game on the same wavelength of kind of, you know, this first sub off the bench, let's really reward this player. They're playing well. And then each game presents its own unique challenges of making those decisions. And it's really a benefit for me not to have to focus on that as much, right? We're still having the conversations during the game. I'll still every once in a while probably, you know, frustrate him and go, no, you sit, you go in and mess up his subbing rotation. But it's kind of free flowing that way.
How about inbounds plays? Like, you guys are subbing for specific inbounds plays as well?
No, really? We don't sub so much specifically for inbounds plays. We'll see personnel, and so we'll get into whatever series of our inbounds plays might make sense to that personnel. And so we've got quite a few in this year, and we've been pretty good at that. We'll sub a bit more to set up our defense. Tino does a really good job of like on free throws or dead balls, like we'll get a sub to the table so that we can take a beat, set up our defense in a really good way.
Give me an example of one of your play calls.
Oh.
Some names. Can you reveal that?
You got some.
We do a lot of Louis on inbounds. So Louis would be the play before the play. So you'll hear me say, you know, hey, Laker one, hey, Louis four high, something like that. So it's kind of like our, what would it be in football? The pre-snap count.
Yeah. Omaha.
Yeah. Any of our Louis are plays that we can run just from our setup without, you know, if the way they're guarding this player, we can just seal this, or the way they're guarding that, we can set that screen and look at the three on the opposite side. And so you'll hear a lot of Louis. You'll hear a lot of no-nos from us. We call a lot of no-nos. My daughter's favorite play that we call, we haven't do it as much this year. Actually, we just put it in last week, so you hear it a little bit more. But over the years, is pinky no-no. So
sounds like a kid's television show,
right? Named as it should. Yeah.
Name it.
I am not the greatest at naming things, so I've had to, like, anytime I come up with a great name, I always go to Tina. Okay, like, tell me if this is bad.
All right, so next might be like tough. Dora the Explorer.
Yeah,
might be your next
Dora.
Play then.
Dora, no.
We spend a lot of time on naming things. That's for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's awesome. All right, we got another minute or so before we hit a break. All right, Tino. So you coached at San Joaquin Memorial. Was it right before Tim hired you? So what was that process like, and what went into that decision of moving over to the college ranks?
Because
it's
story.
Not an easy one.
So I was at Memorial for 7-8 years now. I can't even remember. I had taken a step back. I was going to take some time off from coaching. And then Tim called. We talked a little bit. I went on a family vacation, and I proposed to my now wife. And then he called me on that vacation and offered me the job. So he gave me the best engagement gift I've ever had in my life. But yeah, so he called, and, you know, I was thinking about taking some time off from coaching. I was a little burnt out. Turned out to be the best decision ever, because I really found passion and joy again in coaching. You know, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of coaches. It can be a real grind. It drains you and everything. And I thought I was really done with coaching, and my passion's always been to be at this level. And then Tim gave me the best gift I've ever had. So
it was an easy yes.
Very.
And here you are. All right, we're going to talk about coaching, more about the women's program at Fresno Pacific University. I got some Christmas questions for you guys as well. So we'll take a break. We're going to come back with the Fresno Pacific University women's basketball coaches. You're listening to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. Back to the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. If you miss any or a part, or you want to listen to past episodes of the show, you could go to 790ESPNFresno.com, go under podcast, Sunbird Sports Show, and you could go back and listen to any of the shows. I think September 18th, if I'm not mistaken, was our first show. So you can go back and listen to soccer teams. We had track and field, cross country. We've had a lot of good shows, and we're in the middle of one right now. We got Tim Beauregard is here, along with associate head coach Tino Reynolds. Sorry about that. And we've covered a lot of stuff. Covered the NBA, covered the team so far. How about Christmas movies, right? A huge debate. We can pretty much end this now on this date. December 11th, 2024. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
How has this debate not been ended already?
Because so many people say it isn't. So many people say it is. I mean,
I guess
wars have been started over.
I know.
Situations.
It's such a weird one to me, because I feel like if it's a movie and it's Christmas time and you see one of a few things, or maybe two, a Christmas tree with lights on it or Christmas decorations, right? It's a Christmas movie and it has a Christmas feel to it. Mm-hmm. Die Hard has a Christmas feel to it the entire time. So it's, you know, I think anybody can define a Christmas movie however they want to, but Die Hard has always been a Christmas movie, and I've never understood how it's not.
When do you watch it, right? Like, I watch Home Alone during Christmas. I watch Die Hard during Christmas.
That's right.
So that's my simple explanation for it.
Well, right now, I think the Elf and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation are on loops.
Oh,
that's right.
Right? They're on loops. On
Christmas Story, too.
Christmas
that's another
story,
one that's always.
Right? Those are the three big ones, but Die Hard. Okay, so we say yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's 100%. A majority already, two out of the three.
Right.
So my vote really doesn't matter, but I'd say yes. One of the most iconic scenes
I was worried.
From Die Hard, right, is when you know, he kills that guy in the elevator and he's draping him with the Christmas lights and there's ho, ho, ho on the back.
That's
right?
It. Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. All right.
Yep.
Done. Settled. Timestamp it.
Yeah.
6:39.
Wikipedia.
PM Pacific. All right. So you got a game on Friday, right?
Yeah.
Coming off that big win against Biola up in San Francisco against Academy of Art. But you're playing in a place you haven't been to in, what, five years? So
has it been five? Yeah.
5 years since you've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have their own gymnasium or arena or anything. So they got to rotate places.
Yeah.
But where are you guys playing Friday?
Playing at the Kezar.
The Kezar.
Yeah, the Kezar. It's right in the heart of San Francisco, right next to the park. Old ABA games were played there. It's a historic building. It's actually really, really cool. It's freezing cold. There, you may or may not see a few rats running behind you in the concrete bleachers. It's an experience, but it's like there's no bus parking. The bus has to drop us off and then drive like 35 minutes out of the city, right? And but there's so much history. Dr. J's play there, all these different things. So it's actually a really cool experience. But I hadn't realized it's been that long since we had played there. So it'll be kind of fun to get back there on Friday and see if we can do what we did last time, which was get a win.
The center court looks like
It's like a big orange basketball. Like, you know, think of like how you would want to like design a basketball court in like the 70s. Okay. And that's, it's like a big orange, like cartoon basketball. And it still has the NBA 3-point lines painted. It's really cool.
I'm imagining like rickety metal bleachers too. Is it that bad? That's in my mind.
It's like concrete, like bleachers, different concrete things. But it's like, I mean, you know, it's heart of San Francisco. So there's a place like we get our, I think we get real authentic pizza and salads and it's like two blocks away and we walk and grab it and bring it back while we watch the men's team. And it's just these incredible pizzas and salads. It's really cool.
What's the name of the pizza?
You got That's a great question.
That? I know there's Blondie's. There was a Blondie's pizza down there. I remember going, and you know, we'd go on an eighth grade trip and we'd be in the heart of downtown by the mall and we'd see Academy of Art, like literally right in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Like,
it's everywhere. Yeah.
That's the college, I guess.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll be figuring out the pizza place on the bus right
there.
We
always do.
Yeah.
We have our places.
Yeah.
All right. So 5-4. So that basically a third of the way through the basketball season, right? Play about 30 games. Am I right?
Yep. Exactly. 31.
31 games. You've been coaching. You guys have been doing this for a long time. I'm just curious, like the mental health of a team, like how do you guys navigate that? How do you know when to push them through? Maybe they hit a wall, right? Physically or mentally, like how do you know when to push them? How do you know when to pull back? How do you know when to have, you know, moments like, guys, we're not going to touch a basketball today, right?
Yeah.
We're going to talk some things through. Like how do you navigate that as a coach at the college?
I'll start, and then Tino's great at this too. He can go, you kind of said it a handful of times there. You got to know them, right? You have to know. And I think there's an authenticity in the approach that our staff has taken over the years to serve our student athletes, right? If serving is beneath you, leading is beyond you is one of our staples. And they don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Another cliche quote, but we spend a lot of time just making sure that we're in tune with how they're feeling. The level of sacrifice that the young women on our team make to be great for each other for basketball is huge. And basketball is trivial. It's really, really petty. It's fleeting. It's not the most important thing that we do every day. It's not even in the top five things that I do every day. We joke all the time that really coaching basketball is like 10% of what we do for a year. Right now, it may be 40%, but it's never 90% of what we do. What we do is we serve and we try to help. And, you know, we get led by our team as much as I think we lead them, but we're intertwined and we live together and we break bread together and we share laughs and tears together. One of the things that I installed in our program, I think 10 years ago, I think when I first took over at FPU, is I do weekly 15s. So on our iCal, every player has a weekly 15 scheduled and they come and they sit in my office for 15 minutes. And you know, I'm spending so much time with them throughout the week, but that's like, we're off the basketball court. We're talking life and how are you doing? What's stressing you out? What's bringing you joy right now? We deal with a lot.
Yeah.
And again, the sacrifices, or, you know, this age, you know, I don't know if I've had a season where we haven't had grandparents lost, where we haven't had parents with health issues. Like, basketball doesn't mean that much. It's this vessel that we get to come together and learn about ourselves, and they get to learn their voice and their leadership, and they get to, you know, figure out how to be held accountable. Who do they want to be outside of their family constructs? What's the most important things? It's this self-actualization phase of life for us. Maybe a little different, obviously, for, you know, high school or below, but for us, you know, 18 to 22, they're figuring out who they are, who they want to be, asking really, really hard questions. And that's the most important thing to me and Tino on a day-to-day basis is, can we serve them? Can we be there for them? Can we help them? Basketball takes care of itself. I mean, we get on the court, it's competitive. This level, there's a professionalism that you have to have. You have to be able to compartmentalize what you're dealing with off the court and when you step on the court. Mm-hmm. But the things that matter most for us every day have consistently mattered most for us, and that is them. And, you know, it's why we recruit a very specific way. But yeah, Tino, you can share anything on that too.
Yeah, I think the thing I really learned from Tim coming on board was, you know, the X's and O's are great and everything, but speaking into their lives and knowing what they do outside of basketball is so much more important, you know. And I try to bring joy every day. I mean, I know that's my role. And, you know, they deal with a lot of stress and a lot of pressure at this level, you know, whether it's themselves to perform for their teammates, maybe it's family, the expectations they may feel from us. I think taking that step back and caring more about the other things they do in their life, they play basketball. That does, you know, they're not labeled as basketball players in my eyes. They play basketball. And it's really cool. And I think the most joy I find is over the years of coaching them, the other things they do and who they are. And like, it's kind of cool this year having 10 seniors like that we've been with for a long time now, like where they're at now and where they were 4 or 5 years ago. And I think that brings me the most joy.
It's family. I mean, yeah. Our doors are always open. We have the, you know, I told Tino when he first got hired, my philosophy, and I wasn't going to hire anybody that didn't fit this ethos, and he's incredible, is our doors are always open. Our teams are in our office and we feel weird when they aren't. Yeah. Like, it's like, what's going on? Can you guys stop by? So they're spending a lot of time in our office. And I told them, it's like, no matter what your to-do list is in our program and our culture, you're going to come in and you're going to have 10 things you have to get done today. And you're going to have your laptop open and you're going to be grinding away. And when a player walks in, you shut that laptop and you might've just gotten the next hour hijacked mm-hmm. to joke, to talk. It doesn't matter. And then you have to find time. So it's like, I always tell them, it's like, you might have to do some of your work at home because when you're here, our availability is for them. Right. And so he's incredible at that. They love spending time with Tino and in his office and different things like that. And that's just us trying to be authentic with who we are, is that is going to be the most important thing to us. And it's a fun way to run our program because we just laugh a lot with our team. We cry with our team. We laugh with our team and we have a blast with them. So it's great that now it is become easier to talk about. I think most teams that are functioning with any sort of like, you know, positivity and doing things the right way are talking about mental health. They're having mental health specialists talk to their teams. And there's at least an understanding that like at our level of athletics, and this isn't just our level of athletics. This is, you see it in high school. You see it, this pressures that build, you know, there's a lot of people that's miserable in our industry right now. And it's like, we coach a children's sport for a living. Like, we have to make sure that this is also fun and that maybe we can rid some of that pressure, some of that anxiety, that performance anxiety, but work on it and be okay to have a place where it's safe to have those discussions. And I'm really thankful that I have a team that comes in and will go deep in those conversations and get help when they need help, right? That it's not, there's no stigma attached to it. We all need help. We all need help in different ways at different stretches of our lives, and mental health never goes away. We should always be pursuing a better version of our mental health so we can be the best version of ourselves to the people we love, right? And yeah, we have a bunch of young women in our program who believe that same thing.
And I've heard so many horror stories of bad college experiences, right? You hear about bad high school experiences and transfers and all this stuff. And then you get to college and you hear about, yeah, I had a miserable, horrible time in college for whatever reason. And it destroyed their love of the sport they played. That's and right. Really took a toll on them later in life, right? Right. for somebody to talk about that, you know, 10, 15 years after they got out of college, it sticks with them, right?
Right.
So a positive experience that you guys are bringing to Fresno Pacific University is definitely evident, right? In talking with your athletes and seeing the great women that that come out of Fresno Pacific University athletics, you know, including your basketball yeah. program, right? You're trying to acclimate them and get them through what could be a difficult time in life, right? Yeah. You're talking about college experience. It could be difficult, but preparing them for the work, for, you know, the workforce yeah. as well, to be a better husband or wife or whatever yeah. those reasons are.
That's right. No, that's such a, it's such a big part, right? It goes back to the like self-actualization. This is really where they're going to figure out who they are and who they want to be for the rest of their life. And so we get to be a part of that for a short time, but an impactful time.
And it doesn't hurt if they can rebound and shoot a three-pointer either.
Nope, that helps.
Yeah. That helps. All right. I want to talk about the types of players that you guys look at. You just came from an event where you're looking at some prospects, and, you know, you always got an eye out for the girls in the central section. But what are the type of players that you guys love to recruit to Fresno Pacific?
Yeah, I'll let Tino start with that. I mean, he does. He's the one in a lot of gyms over the last yeah. couple of years, maybe even more
I've
so than
seen
me.
Him out a few.
Yeah, yeah.
I joke about this. I tell my friends this all the time. My buddies and group of friends I have, and I was like, you guys could walk in a gym and tell me who's a good basketball player. That's anybody can do that. That's not complicated. I think, you know, there's a player I'm thinking of right now that, you know, we're recruiting, and her energy when she comes out of the game, it's not like the stuff on the court all the time. You know, like, yeah, we got to find someone that can hit shots, dribble the ball, do all that. I think watching during timeout, something I learned from Tim, how about after a timeout? How about in a timeout? How about breaking with their team? Like, are they throwing high fives around? Are they energetic? Are they an energy vampire? You know,
right.
So I think trying to evaluate talent is pretty easy. I think some of the other attributes that you can identify in energy and effort off the court stuff, I think, is where we have kind of found our sweet spot.
Yeah, we're really particular, and not everybody gets it, right? And that's okay. You know, we all have egos, I think, as coaches, but we have each other, we have our team, and we have a history and a plethora of young women who we've recruited the right way. We're not for everybody either, and I mm-hmm. think that's an okay thing, right? I think there's, you know, sometimes there's local, I've got a pretty good relationship with a lot of the high school coaches. And I think, you know, there's all the high school coaches want you to recruit their players. And it's like, I can't carry 50 every year. And so, we're really atypical in how we recruit. We don't mass recruit at all. We're really specific when we find somebody we like. We have one rule. We don't bring any, we use a word I can't use on air. We don't bring in any jerks. That's the trump card. It doesn't matter how good you are at basketball. You have to be like-minded with the kind of team that we have. You have to be selfless and caring. You have to be smart, professional. You have to have a spirit about you. You have to be a dream chaser, right? And we define that in a couple of different ways. And then you got to be competitive, right? You have to be competitive too. So you have to be this awesome kind of cool person, or at least that we can kind of grow and see you, that you're not going to come in and be an energy vampire. Then you have to be really competitive, and we have to see the basketball side of it too. And so, yeah, we're really particular in how we recruit. And honestly, more than just like recruiting to us, we're trying to get in the ears of, you know, local high school coaches, excuse me, and all of our local players. That's something I'm trying to do, is cast a little bit wider of a net, not specifically just for our program, but because the system's broken. Mm-hmm. D1, D2 women's basketball over the last 10 years is over a 50% transfer rate. This is not the young women's fault. This is not like the easy topic that you hear people say is, oh, it just gets hard, so they just move. This transfer portal's ruining it. Not for my sport. I'm talking to these young women at times coming out of that portal, and it's what you said. They had been lied to. They have been misled. They had a horrible experience. Mental health was never a part of the equation where they went. And us trying to like help educate what is fit. We're not for everybody. You can't come to, like, listen, we're in Fresno, first off, okay? So, like, we're recruiting against everybody in our league who's got a beach. So we're like, we're not going to lie. We're not going to be dishonest. We want people to come on campus and see our campus is beautiful when you're on campus. You also can't hide on our campus. With how we do academics, especially in our program, our teachers know our players by their first name. Mm-hmm. So you can't walk across our campus and hide. It's going to be, hey, Jayla, good game last night. And it's like, what? So we try to be like really honest with who we are, but more than anything is just trying to educate. There's so many voices in our industry that have kind of polluted this idea of what level you should go to versus what fits for you. And, you know, we don't have to look very far. Every recruit that I talk to locally, we all know the same names of players that probably should have went to a different level or a different situation, but they had people in their ear telling them, you need to go to the highest level that you get an offer from because that's what you are. It's like, well, if you have a couple of D1 offers, doesn't that mean you'd be a pretty heck of a good D2 player, right? And so just we need to switch it and flip it upside down. And because these young women and their families, if given the correct information, make the right decisions. They do. And it doesn't mean they make the right decision for the only coach that's recruiting them. I had two no's in the last couple of weeks, and I'm so excited for them because it was the right decision for them to go to the other place. And so it's just really backwards, and it's really tough in our industry right now. And so I think like Tino and I have to kind of like square each other up once a week, once every other week, and just go, let's continue to stay true to who we are. Recruit the right type of people and build and build and build. And, you know, luckily for us, we think that we can continue to keep enough locals that have pride in the community and want to be a part of FPU and then cherish, you know, the kind of culture that the players before them have created. So,
Tino, is that a difficult concept for you to come out of San Joaquin Memorial girls basketball, right, to where, you know, you're like, hey, we got to get the right girls. Some girls have been lied to. This is a great program. We offer something different. Like, you've probably seen it all, right? Yeah.
I've seen some dirty
people in the industry, right, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
You know, show up in your gym and, you know, you got to keep an eye on, who's that guy? Why is that guy talking to this, you know, my girl, right? You're like, those situations are real, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, I think it's kind of tough for me when I first came in. So my first year, we hit COVID. So we finished the season and I couldn't recruit for however long that was after COVID. I don't really remember. But so it was really interesting for me coming in because, you know, I coached some pretty high level players at Memorial and I had to kind of get a grasp on what that meant of like, hey, what's a D1? Hey, what's this level? And me and Tim have gone back and forth on this and tried to identify what that even means. But I told Tim this, and maybe this is the best way to put it. I think I've forgot more about recruiting than I've learned in the last 5 years. It's changed so much. I think people are trying to chase a lot of things that because people in their ear are telling them this is what they should do instead of, like Tim saying, trying to find the information. So, you know, kind of what I thought it was and what it's become is vastly different, which I think is good for me and Tim because we've enjoyed, I think, this process of trying to educate people. I mean, I was just in a gym yesterday, a couple days ago, Clovis West tournament, and I was talking to a high school coach and I was informing him on stuff. He was asking me a bunch of questions and he goes, I had no idea. Wow. And I, you know, me and Tim's passion project is to get all the coaches in the gym and really explain what recruiting is and what it's not.
How much
maybe
it's
more
changed.
So.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're in a good place with it, but I can't speak to like the whole of it, you know, and I hope that we can, you know, tap into enough people to help define what that really is. And hopefully it's going to get better. I'm going to say it on air. It's going to get better. But it is in a rough spot.
We have incredible local coaches who I think get it. And so I think it's just moved so fast the last couple of years. And, I think for us to get there, there has to be like a recognition of everybody stopping. I think there needs to be more conversations. We're trying to do a better job, although it's hard. But to get everybody together, or at least have these conversations and go, hey, listen, just look at the history. Let's just take the last 10 or 15 years of Valley prospects. There's far fewer success stories than people want to admit. Mm-hmm. There's far, far fewer. There's a couple. There's enough that you can talk just about those, but there's this whole other side of it. Of players that will tell you, families that will tell you, and coaches who have lived it through them of wish they would have known more, wish they would have asked better questions, wish they would have not got caught up in this or that, transferred two or three times because they were chasing a fit, and had they been given all the proper information through the process, we could have had a lot, maybe, you know, happier campers through that stretch.
Well, we only got another minute or so, but you guys have been so great, so honest, so informative. We could tell your passion shines through everything you guys say. We've had four girls, right, in last show. We're probably going to bring some more girls.
I'm going to bring all my grad students next time.
Bring the grad students. They've been through a little bit.
Fifth year, all 5 years with us. They're the backbone of our program, and they're all taking a final tonight. But next time, those four can do a great job. They would love it.
I can't wait. Thank you guys for coming in. Oh, man, I could go for another hour or two talking with you guys. You're doing a fantastic job. Love running into you guys at different various events. But keep up the great work. You guys are doing transformational stuff at the university. So thank you guys for coming.
Appreciate you, Paul. Thanks.
Hey,
so
last
much.
Thing. Happy birthday to my wife. It's her birthday.
What?
Today.
Happy birthday, Corey.
I wanted to make sure that was on there.
Way to go, Tino.
And Tino has a baby son too. He just had a son.
I'm gonna go home too. So happy birthday, Corey.
All right, are there Lakers playing tonight?
No, they won the cup last year, so they took this year off.
Oh, there you go.
So hopefully
go.
The Warriors
there
can win.
Go. All right, the Warriors. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Always, always fun and entertaining. This has been the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great rest of the week.